Welcome to New Pod. Presented by Knotfest.com. Primer 55 bassist Joshua Toomey and War Machine merch mastermind Ro Coley bring you a weekly dose of all things new. Album deep dives, news, interviews. This is New Pod.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of New Pod right here on Knotfest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey. That is Ro Coley. And this week on the podcast, we have Najon Witherspoon of Seven Dust. Make sure to go check out their latest release, Truth Killer, is out now. And they just announced a third leg of the Seven Dust Static X tour. So, man, that's pretty damn awesome, man. This tour has done so well. They've had to announce a third leg, man.
That's awesome. I mean, that just goes to show just how much lasting power all of those bands have, you know, and how much people really, really want to see them and kind of feel like they did way back when, you know, and feel like they do now. I mean, last time I saw Static X, that place was raucous as hell. So obviously people are still loving it.
As this comes out, I will have seen the show the night before when I head down to Orlando. The last time I saw Seven Dust was like 2016, 17, somewhere in there. One of the best sounding shows I've heard in forever. Like, they just sounded amazing. And even in the interview, we go into talking about seeing Seven Dust back in the day, back in the 90s, back in the 1900s. And
the 1900s.
Going into the interview with LaJean, we didn't really know what to expect. But man, LaJean was like on 100 like the entire interview. And this is definitely one where after this, the clips start posting to YouTube, you're going to want to run over to YouTube because it kind of turned into a show and tell. And it was pretty wild. Ro, you were talking about before we started recording, like he even like showed us this weird heater that you plug into a wall and like how cool it was and stuff. And
we're just like, you know what? I mean, after watching that, I had to go to asseenontv.com just to see what's what. And I'm so dead set on getting that heater. He sold me on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. As a audio visual, this is, or audio medium that this is, he definitely turned it into a show and tell visual that you will definitely need to go and check out.
For sure.
This week in Los Angeles was the big NAMM convention. You know, musicians from all over the world are there, and Ro is there. So Ro, kind of take it from here, man. What all did you see? Who all did you run into?
Well, you know, as much as normally I would have a much more in-depth analysis of this whole thing, but unfortunately I was only able to go one day. Normally I do all 4 days, but this year things got a little wonky for me. So I got to do the one day, which was Saturday, which was rad. I mean, the place was packed. I heard there was about 65,000 people there, you know, so it's funny, too, because a lot of people, especially friends I know who've been doing this for a long time, they really shit on NAMM, like, oh, NAMM, like, who cares? But you know what? It is a lot of fun. I mean, Stevie Wonder was just walking around in the crowd. Like, it's like you just never know what you're going to see. So, I mean, like, the first people I ran into was like Caesar from Ministry. You know, like I ran into so many different people, Edge of Paradise. And I ran into Shavo from System of a Down, who was saying that he's just kind of he's tired of waiting for System to do stuff. So he's starting his own band. So that's all I know right now. So we'll see where that all goes. But it's cool, man. I think if anybody can go to this show, like don't let people's negative NAMM comments like sway you. It is a ton of fun. It's really cool to see all the cool shit that's out there. A lot of big companies stopped going there, like Schecter and stuff like that. But I mean, they outgrew their need for it. And there's always going to be a new company that's going to come in and just fill that spot. And I think that's what's cool, because it just kind of shows this constant evolution of all the different types of stuff. I mean, so many new guitar manufacturers, so many new bass manufacturers, just all sorts of cool new types of items, you know, new earplugs, that kind of thing. So it's just a cool vibe. I love it. Fuck all the haters. Sorry, man. which I know include a lot of my friends, but fuck all the haters. Like, it's still fun. But I did miss some of the big shows, though, that happened, which is I missed Metal Allegiance and I missed the Schecter Party, which a band that I do has nothing to do with new metal, but I do want to push them here. They're called Seaglows. If you get a chance, check it out. It's like Aztec black metal, which I'm not a black metal guy really at all. But
what about Aztecs?
Yeah. I mean, Aztecs, hell yeah. No, but like it has more of this like whereas black metal is usually this kind of Germanic, Norwegian, Scandinavian kind of vibe to it. This has got this really cool like Incan, Aztec, ancient South American kind of black metal vibe. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just fucking rad. So I'm bummed I missed them play that show. But if you guys definitely need to check them out. And then my buddy's band Scum Love played. Scum has been part of the new metal scene forever and ever and ever. And so if you guys check them out, check out Scum Love. Great stuff. It's very like Fear Factory, industrially thrill kill cultish kind of vibe. Really good stuff. So yeah, so it was still really cool. Got a, you know, ton of cool stuff. And it's definitely well worth checking out. If you're ever in town and you're, especially if you're into music, if you're into like playing instruments and all that, it's definitely the place to be.
I think my my Facebook memories every year is one year I posted, does anything actually happen at NAMM or does everyone just take selfies with each other? It seems to be that's all that goes on there. It's just everybody takes selfies.
You know, yeah, that, well, because that's what it always looks like. But the cool thing is that like you have a band like a company like Marshall.
Yeah,
or what's it called? Like D'Addario or Ibanez, and they'll do these really awesome signings. So they'll have like, oh, Mick from Slipknot and Devin Townsend and Trey Anastasio and blah, 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 like just all these random people that they endorse, all just doing signings and just signing whatever, you know. So people will bring their records, people will bring cool stuff, or they'll just have photos. So it's just a really cool opportunity to be able to meet people that you never in your life would think that you'd be able to meet, you know. So in a weird way, it's almost like a Comic-Con sort of situation where, you know, you get to really see all this cool stuff. But I mean, it's cool too because they'll like sell like samples. I saw somebody selling a really nice acoustic guitar sample for like $30 or $40. I was like, fuck, dude, I feel like I should buy one just because. Like it seems like such a good deal,
yeah,
you know. But it is, it's a really cool show, so fuck the haters, go to NAMM.
do they have any like podcasting stuff set up? Do you see anything like people trying to hawk, you know, microphones or you know, the Zoom or anything like that?
You know what, nothing that was crazy extensive that I saw. Most of it was just you know, like if you want to attach your GoPro to your guitar while you're playing and video yourself, that kind of thing. But nothing, I didn't really see anything out of the ordinary in that regard where I was like, hey, I need to look at that for what we're doing, you know.
Not yet, at least.
Yes.
All right, man, well, let's dive into some you know, do you have anything you would like to share with your
is that the segue into this?
Yes, that is the segue into your next segment there.
Into my next thing. Okay, so I don't know what we're gonna call the segment, if it's even got a name. Maybe we'll come up with something fun. You guys,
how about some recommendations?
Oh, that's absolutely terrible. And we're not using that ever in the history of ever. No, so I since, you know, a lot of people know that I have a booth at San Diego Comic-Con, so I deal with a lot of pop culture stuff outside of metal, but it also includes a lot of metal. And one of the companies that I work with is a company called Z2 Comics, who specializes in doing band-based comic books. So they did Cypress Hill, and they've done Iron Maiden, and they've done Motorhead, and there's a whole bunch that they've done that are really, really cool. But today, I am reviewing this lovely one, which is the Iron Maiden graphic novel, which is really dope. It's based on the album Peace of Mind. So every story in here is a different song, and basically a story written to each song. So each song basically has its own plot and everything. The artwork is fucking dope. It's got these really cool testimonials before each song. I mean, everybody from like Chris Jericho. I saw Michael Fassbender, the guitar player from The Cure has one, you know, and the stories are just really cool. And based on each of the songs on the record. If you're an Iron Maiden fan, or sometimes I can't tell if our show skews young, skews older, whatever, but if you know somebody who is a Maiden fan, or you are, this is definitely well worth picking up. There's also a deluxe edition, which is like $150, and then there's like an Asylum edition that comes with like an Eddie statue that's like $300, and it's like it's numbered and all that kind of stuff. It's really cool, and they come with like, there's like a baseball card that's like Prism, and I mean, it's crazy nonsense. It's really dope though. But if you are into Iron Maiden, this is definitely something to check out, and definitely check out z2comics.com. they have a ton of really awesome stuff. They are coming out with a Typo Negative one very soon that is super dope. Super, super dope. Some of my favorite people are writers on it, which I'm really excited about. So definitely something to check out. Like I said, if you're not a Maiden fan, but you know someone who is, this will definitely brighten up their day. That is for sure. And then speaking of Maiden and other things con-related, Comic-Con related. So my buddies over at NECA Toys make the sickest stuff ever. So this is one of them, which is the new number of the Beast Eddie statue figure, which comes with like an open, it's got like a Velcro opening so you can actually see what's inside, which is dope. And it comes with like the crazy little devil with the huge mustache on there. It's super sick. It's the 40th anniversary version. So it's got this really dope the deluxe one. It's even got Eddie holding his severed head and all. I mean, it's just so fucking rad. And my buddy over at NECA, Randy, who is a massive metalhead from way back in the day. I'll say way back from way back in the day. Used to DJ on our college metal radio station in New Jersey called WSOU. What up, WSOU? So he is responsible for getting a lot of these really awesome ones made. He did the Scott Ian figure. He did the this one also. They also did this one, which is dope. This Freddie Mercury figure. The sculpting is so insanely sick. And seriously, if you know anybody who is a Freddie Mercury fan, it's like, on the one hand, you could take this thing out and display it and it would look sick. On the other hand, you could literally just keep it right in the packaging and it still looks so amazing. And the sculpting is just top notch. The people at NECA are ridiculous. Looks like we're going really way more old, skewing older than I, or young, I guess older than I thought. But we also have a Bon Scott from AC/DC figure. I know it's kind of hard to see with all the glare, but same thing, man. It's like the detail on this is incredible. He's got soft goods too. So it's like, he's got like a denim jacket and shit. Looks amazing. But same thing, man. You know, an AC/DC fan, that's the type of thing that most fans aren't really thinking about until it comes to them. And then they're just like, holy shit, I just never even considered this. And it's definitely cool. Last two things, because we're going to be talking a little bit maybe about Mr. Rob Zombie, but they put out this thing called the Little Big Heads. Nice. Which are these really cool, ultra dynamic designed figures. So this one's from House of a Thousand Corpses. It's got Baby and Captain Spaulding and Otis dressed up like a crazy satanic priest. Hold on. There we go. Really cool. And then it's got Sherry Moon Zombie on there just looking like her. It is the 20th anniversary, though, of this movie, and I will say this: like, I'm a Rob Zombie fan. I'm a White Zombie fan. I loved House of a Thousand Corpses, but unfortunately, I'm not a huge fan of any of Rob's other movies. But this movie definitely terrified the shit out of me when I watched it because I was like, "Yo, this is like crazy, sadistic, crazy horror." But I thought it was so dope in the end. But I thought the rest of the movies were kind of garbage. But lastly, from NECA,
all right,
we have this little big head of the Spook Show Rob Zombie, complete with X carved in his head. He looks like he glows in the dark, but I don't think he does. But It is really cool. Definitely, like I said, if you're a Rob Zombie fan, this is definitely something you got to have. And the cool thing about it is that these little big heads aren't crazy complicated with all these extra pieces and everything. So it makes for a really cool, just kind of a desk piece that you could just kind of boop, just right on the side. But what I also like to do with stuff like this is I'll use what's it called, like fishing wire, and I'll make these into like Christmas ornaments.
Okay.
You know, so he's only about 5 inches tall. So he'll even be perfect if you want to put him as a star on top of your tree, which I think is hilarious. But that's what I really love about these. But if you're interested in any of this stuff, you can go to places like Target and Walmart. Go to entertainmentearth.com. They range between $30 and $60 for these. I mean, the three pack is like $60, but most of them fall within the $30 to $40 range. So they're not crazy expensive. But definitely really cool stuff. And I want to thank NECA and Z2 for giving us some cool shit to review.
Well, I will read this now. The Freaks are coming. Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper are bringing their Freaks on Parade tour with Ministry and Filter across the country once again this summer, revitalizing one of last summer's hottest tours, kicking off August 20th and running through September 18th. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. This is a can't-miss show featuring some of my favorites, including Dracula and Living Dead Girl from Rob, Poison and School's Out from Alice. This show is going to be freaky, and it's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see it myself.
Yes, that is 100% true. Although I do hope he plays, because I remember when I saw him a couple years back, they threw in Creature of the Wheel. And I just remember when it was in San Bernardino when I saw them do that. And I just remember it sounded so heavy and so thick and chugging. I really hope they bring out like just one of those obscure zombie songs, yeah. You know, that just never gets a whole lot of play. You know,
the one year that he did Astro Creep in its entirety at Riot Fest. And like, I was like, it was the return of the Misfits. It was the Misfits second show.
Right.
And Rob Zombie doing that, plus Deftones on the show too, whatever. Oh. But it was crazy because they did the entire album and the crowd was so. And then they had a few, I guess they had 10 minutes at the end of the set. They did Dragula. Place fucking blew up. It was mind boggling.
Because it's like, you know, when it comes to those big festivals too, I'm convinced that like, you know, people listen to their hard rock station and whatever. And yeah, they're going to know Dragula and they'll know More Human Than Human. And they'll know, you know, Thunderkiss and Black Sunshine. But yeah, it's like when you start playing those other songs that the hardcore or just the real fans, I guess you could say, the not Fly By Night fans are, you know, listening to, it's like, they're like, what is this? I saw Jane's Addiction do all of Ritual, De Lo Habitual, and everyone wanted to hear Been Caught Stealing. And then the rest of the album, everyone's just like, what is this crap? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've never heard any of these songs played live. It's like one of my favorite records. So that's always kind of how it is. You know, when they do that, same thing happened with Slipknot. When I saw them at Knotfest and they did all of Iowa, people were like, please spit it out. And like, like, nope, we're going to play 17 minutes of the song Iowa, you know? And, you know, but like for me as a huge fan of Iowa, I was like practically in tears because that was I think it was V-Man and Jay Weinberg's first shows was doing all of fucking Iowa. It was really, it was kind of emotional, like even backstage, everyone was tense, like everyone was kind of in their own area, but like it was, but just, you know, seeing it as a huge fan of that record was mind blowing, you know? So it's like, that's why, like when it comes to stuff like that, it is very hit or miss because people just don't know those other songs.
Yeah. The perfect night that I ever saw was, it was Slayer doing Seasons in the Abyss. Oof. And Megadeth doing Rust in Peace together. Beautiful. And I was in heaven from like the moment it started to the moment it stopped.
Or were you sad? No, just kidding.
Yes.
I was really bad. They can't all be zingers, folks. Sorry.
I was a little southeast of heaven. Okay. The thing, you know, it's funny is I posted about White Zombie not too long ago. And then I listened to, you know, Los Exorcisto, and then I listened to Astro Creep in the car one day. And then I got home and I just started Googling old shows because White Zombie, when I was like 15 and going to see them, I mean, they were already in the sheds. I saw them twice at like the amphitheater and then once at like a college. It was one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen. It was White Zombie, Reverend Horton Heat, Melvins, and then it was White Zombie, Pantera, I Hate God. And then it was White Zombie, Filter. But Filter like had just came out. People kind of knew, Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Oh wow.
But yeah, every time I saw them as a kid, I was completely blown away. Yeah. Some of the best state, because you're kind of in the 90s where big arena state rock shows aren't really happening.
Right.
You know, Pantera is doing a big show, but you know, Fire and all that stuff. But I mean, like there was Go-Go Dancers and I'm 15, there's like girls dancing on stage, rocking, you know, metal going on. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like every time I went to see White Zombie.
White Zombie was the first band that I ever experienced moshing in. I was going to see them and Pantera on Pantera's first Vulgar tour. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being in the middle of the floor and just being like, wow, I got such a good spot. I can't believe it. And then White Zombie came on and the whole place turned into a human washing machine. And I just got through, and I was like 80 pounds soaking wet back then. So I was like just getting thrown every which way. I didn't know which way was up. Oh my God, it was funny. And then this guy who looked like he was probably like 9'2" just like grabbed me by the shoulders and like lifted me up and over the barrier in one move.
Nice.
It was fucking crazy. And that was the first, I was like, holy shit. After that, I was like, I see what's going on now. But
it's like it's like if they were like starting a wall of death and you went to came out of the bathroom and didn't know what was happening.
You're right.
And you're like, well, I can walk straight to the front of the stage. This is empty.
when I worked at Compact Discworld in Menlo Park Mall in Jersey, I remember passing the White Zombies CD all the time because it was always in the miscellaneous W section, but it was always right in front. It was so garishly colored. Mm-hmm. And I just remember I was looking at it going, man, that's the most fucked up looking reggae band I've ever seen in my life. Because I had no idea anything. They were just like, Rob was just like spilling dreads and got Sean, and then Jay's got his dreads. And I'm just like, who are these people? And then I go and see him, and I was like, okay, like, forget it. I know exactly what's what. I think I sold at least 300 to 500 copies of that record at that store. I turned so many people onto White Zombie at that store. It was ridiculous. But hey, man, I hope Rob does do some kind of, I don't know, like I said, just pulls one of those out of the vault kind of songs, you know?
It is tough, a band like that. And even Alice Cooper, you know, when I went to see him, I mean, that was probably 10 years ago too, but I mean, it's like hit after hit after hit, you know, they're not really diving into deep into the catalog.
Right. Right.
You know, because unfortunately most concert goers aren't like you and I, they want the hits and they want to go home.
Right. Right. It's like they want the hits and it's too late.
It's time for bed. I've got to go.
You're right. Totally.
All right. Well, I think that will put us into our interview with LaJon Witherspoon of Seven Dust. And so let's dive into some Seven Dust, talk to LaJon, and then we will be back with you momentarily.
Make sure you buy the heater.
Buy the heater.
Like Sunday morning, you guys, the tour, you know, the big deal that's getting ready to embark on. I fly out of here Wednesday to meet up with the band. And so, look forward to that, especially get back out there with Dope and Static X is going to be really fun. I'll just hold.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was bummed. I missed you guys in L.A.
Yeah, you know what, man? That show was great. And that was the end of the tour. But we had such a, you know, L.A. was incredible just the whole time. The tour, period, every night was so nostalgic and everyone that's coming out and just, I find myself normally, if we don't headline, I like to be at your local Applebee's or Chili's probably by the third song of the headlining act. But this tour was actually great. I was able to hang out with a lot of my buddies and Etzel being out there. And it was just really fun to be able to, after the show, take a shower, chill out, and then go see one of your friends, one of your favorite bands doing what they do. It's really cool.
Let's welcome LaJon Witherspoon of Seven Dust to new pod right here on notfest.com. LaJon, how are we doing today, man?
Fantastic, man. Just watching the snow melt. Waiting for another winter storm to come in Kansas for some reason. I don't know what's going on here, but hanging in there.
Nice. Yeah, I'm in southern Indiana, Louisville area, Louisville, Kentucky area. So, yeah, we just had all of that nonsense, too.
Yeah, sorry, we probably sent it your way.
Right. And Rose in L.A. just giving me crap every day for I'll send him photos of my car dash, temperature gauge or whatever. In the morning, I was like, it's only 0 degrees here, Ro. Come hang out with us.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I lived in Jersey for way too long. I'm done with all that nonsense.
I heard that, man. I can't wait to get back on the tour bus next week because the first show is in Myrtle Beach, and then after that we embark to Florida. So I'm forgetting about this snow. I'm taking my snow boots just in case, but
you never know what's going to happen. That's for sure.
Well, talking the tour there with Static X and Seven Dust, you know, obviously this being new pod here, not fest.com, obviously new metal tinged podcast, and just kind of the rebirth of like this, the scene that we all grew up in, kind of, you know, gaining new legs. Are you seeing like a lot of old friends, but also a lot of young kids at shows?
Oh, well, you know, that's a good question. Absolutely. I just did a phoner and I was saying, you know, me being 51 years old now, it's an incredible thing to look out to the crowd. And I don't say fans, I say family, because at this point I see a cat that's my age or older. And not only does he have his kids there with him, his kids have kids now.
Right.
It's like, you know what I mean? You're like, oh my God, what? Who's this little guy with a Seven Dust shirt on? Well, that's so-and-so's kids. You're a granddad now? Oh, okay, I'm not a granddad yet, but, you know, you get to see this. It's just a family affair to me, man. It's just like, I never would have thought back then when I signed a record deal at 21 years old that it would have led to this now and the family that we have and the people that we've touched. And not only the people, I think they've touched us more than we've than I would say that we've touched them. Does that make sense? But it's been an incredible journey. It's been a lot of, if I have any advice for anyone out there, never give up, because there's a lot of things that try to keep you down. But music to me, man, is a healer. And after all this time, I look out and I feel like when we're on that stage for 45 minutes to an hour, even with us, we get away from, man, my wife was fussing at me, or I got to take care of that bill, or something sick over here. Or, you know, it's life. Everyone goes through it. Even the guys that the biggest rock stars in the world have to still deal with things that that everybody deals with. And so all we're trying to do is get out there on that stage, and for that 45 minutes for the hour, you just get to relax and decompress and, you know, just have a good time. And that's what it's all about. I feel like I'm a doctor and I'm just here to give some people some medicine.
Yeah, I mean, well, like you said, man, music is definitely a healing force, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of it too. Like back in the day, especially in the early 2000s, you think about how many parents are just like, what's that music going to do for you? You're never going to do it. And that's like, now those kids have kids have kids now. I think that just shows really how powerful this music really is and what it's become.
Oh yeah. I remember my mom and them wondering what I was doing, you know, cause it was always music around. I mean, I was all kind of music around in our house. So it was never anything like, you have to only listen to this or this. But I do remember, you know, them hearing some metal songs and stuff and being like, uh-oh, what's going on? What's wrong with Johnny? They still call me Johnny. I'm like, nothing. It's all good. They get it now. They're like, it's all good.
Yeah. I still remember I grew up in Nashville. Obviously I saw you guys at a club called 328. And your grandparents were there, all your family was there, and your grandmother had the most fun I've ever seen. And she was like, that's my grandbaby up there, just like going on and on about how proud of you she was.
Oh, man, those people. Oh, let me tell you what, I rest their souls. I wish they were still around. They were so proud of me and the accomplishment that we were, you know, doing as a young Black man, too, you know, being in the industry that we were in. Was really important and special for them. So for my grandma to see, before she died, to see us at the level, well, you know, not at the level, but, you know, hey, people knew her songs and grandma was like, oh my God, this is, you know, so, oh man, you know, it's a dream come true. You know, thank you for remembering that. That just, anytime I go back to Nashville, it's always hard, but I love that place so much, man. All my family's still there. My auntie just finally sold my granddad's house right behind East High School.
Okay, geez.
Wow.
And it probably sold for some crazy money.
Ripped off, but she sold it.
Yeah. Anytime I talk about moving back down there, I look at housing prices and I'm like, good God.
I mean, it's Nash Vegas for sure. Now you got to be a dang millionaire to go live in an apartment downtown anywhere.
Right. Yeah. That's where everybody's moving now.
Everybody. I look forward to getting back down there. I can't believe Danny from Asking Alexandria just moved to Nashville.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
It's like every time I interview anybody now, it's like, oh, yeah, I just moved to Nashville. And it's like, you know, dudes from Seether and, you know, John, formerly of Stained, is down there now. It's just crazy how many people, you know, growing
Chris
up Daughtry, in Nashville.
Chris Daughtry just texted me the other day and said, hopefully we get to see each other when I get down to Nashville. Yeah, everybody's in Nashville, man. It's crazy. And I laugh at them because I'm like, I'm original. I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and all you guys that are coming down here acting like you're country stars, and all, you're not. I'm country. I'm more country than any
OG.
You know what I'm saying? It's OG.
Right. What was wild too was when in the 90s when I would start to go to shows, and like all the Slaughter and Cinderella and Poison, all those dudes, all Firehouse, they all moved to Nashville. They were OG, like, you know, the original bands to move to Nashville out of nowhere. And then you would go to a show and you'd be standing next to like one of the Nelson twins.
Yes. Oh wow, that's crazy. Man, so where did you live at in Nashville?
Hendersonville, where Johnny Cash lived. Yeah.
Okay, Hendersonville. Oh, of course. I used to love going past the Johnny Cash Museum and always passing that Cadillac with the leopard top on top of it.
Oh yeah.
Going towards Goodlettsville and Gallatin.
Gallatin, yeah, yeah.
Yep. My uncle was a fire chief out there, and I still, it's so funny when you bring up Nashville, you bring up stories, and I remember always going not only past Johnny Cash's place, but Dolly's place, the Mandrell sister's place out there too. But I would go see my Uncle Jerry L, and I still to this day, I wish I'm going to have to do this for my kids, but anytime that I would see my Uncle Jerry L, he would give me a half dollar piece, and that was something that I always thought was cool about that old man. You know what I mean? That was always his thing. When I saw him, I knew that I was going to get a half dollar. So maybe that's what, maybe I'm thinking as I'm 51, that's something I want to do. I'm just, that's old man ideas.
Right, just bring back that old tradition.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean, man? Maybe if it's a quarter or something, but it always reminds me of, you know, just somebody that was important like that, that would take the time to do something like that. And I still think about it as a 50 something year old man. That's crazy.
Yeah. You could definitely give away like $2 bills or something like that. You know, the weird denominations.
Great. Yeah. I'll give fake $100 bill. Yeah.
Just give out Susan B. Anthony's.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. If you just give me a Harriet Tubman dollar. Yeah. Sorry. Here you go.
Seriously, like Nashville, I mean, going to the grocery store must be crazy now. It's just like you're standing in line behind Mick Mars and, you know, just all these people just like, wait, what the hell is going on?
Everybody's in Nashville, man. So check this out. I turned 51 October 3rd, but my 50th birthday party, my wife tricked me and had the tour bus landed. I didn't know everyone, all my friends and everyone that I love are complete liars. had known about this surprise party for 3 months. Tour bus dropped me off at our Airbnb. I met my family. I was like, okay, this is cool. Everybody's here. I'm just going to go home with them. That night, the wife's mom says, hey, I'm going to take the kids to dinner. And I'm looking, and I look out of the Airbnb, and I look down to the bottom, and I see my kids are dressed up and all fancy, and the nana, Gigi's dressed up. I'm like, where are they going? And I said, they're going to dinner. And I said, without us? She's like, yeah. She's like, my mom flew in town so we could hang out for your birthday. I was like, just me and you? She's like, no, Candace and Jeff. She's like, Candace and Jeff are right there. I was like, our best friends that we see all the time? She's like, yeah, we're going to dinner. I'm like, this, all right, whatever. I fought all the way to this fucking restaurant, 10 Roof or whatever it was. And I'm like, I don't want to go in 10 Roof. We got all these other bars. I don't want to go into Kid Rock's place either, or that other Jeffrey Aldi's. I don't go there, but I'll go to any other place. And she's like, why don't you stop being a douchebag and just let's go in here and have a drink. And I was like, okay, cool. And as we're walking in, I remember the lady at the front door saying, are you guys here for the party? Of course, it's Nashville. I'm not thinking. I'm thinking it's a bachelor party.
Right.
I'm like, no, we're not here for the party. There's a bar right there. There's nobody at the bar. I'm like, oh, God, this is great. Let's go right here. It's four of us. Let's have a drink right here and let's hit the Broadway. I remember my wife saying, no, go upstairs. Go upstairs and let's have a drink upstairs. I'm like, but it's people upstairs. I'm like, I don't want to go up there. Let's have a drink here and get out of here. She's like, just go up there. And so as I'm walking up, I remember looking at her and she's pointing at me and I look at my best friend. I was like, why is she being such a douchebag to me? She said, I'm a douchebag. It's my birthday. And I walked up the top of those steps. I mean, we're fussing at the top of the steps. And I turned around, you guys, and there was about 90 of my friends from as far as Australia everywhere in that bar in Nashville, and I cried like a freaking baby. I hate everybody in here. Listen, Trailer Park, Tammy was there. She got up and did a skit on stage. Libby did a skit. Asking Alexandria, Danny got up and sang. One of my great friends, Raw, the singer, Sahaj from Raw was there. He sang a song. Chris Daughtry got up. I mean, it was a very special thing, man. It's you know, you think about it at this point in our lives, it's very cool to have people like that in your life still that you would think that wouldn't be. And you know, right, that they're genuine folks. You know what I mean?
For sure. That's awesome. What a great story.
So check this out. So you can't believe this. So I leave my birthday. Also, at that birthday party, my buddy's Johnny Dare, the famous radio DJ. I'm stuck in my bar. Hold on. He shows up, him and my buddy Jeremy Dixon, and like, hey, we got a birthday present for you, but we don't want to give it to you right now. We want to give it to you at the end of the night because it's weird. And so we call ourselves Mantikers, right? I'm like, yeah, so what could it be? He's like, well, you're going to probably want to get an Uber and get right in the car and get on out of here. So this is the gift that they gave me. It's, hold on, let's open it up. A man's friendships are one of the best measures of his worth. It lights up with the Edison bulb. Jeremy and them, that's a 50 caliber Desert Storm, the 50th anniversary edition gun.
Holy nice. Shit.
That's the 50 cal. That's the real deal. Hadn't shot it yet. And look at this.
Oh shit. And it comes in like a steel case.
They built it for me.
That's incredible.
That's the kind of friends I have right there, man. This is some crazy stuff.
Hey, Ro, did you see the Boba Fett helmet on the wall there?
I didn't. Oh. I must have missed that one. Where's that at?
Hold on.
Oh, look at that. Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's my jam right there.
They all kind of, it gets crazy in this place here.
Yeah, I have that Death Star as well. I have that on my wall too.
So check this out. This Midway game right here was one of the first things me and my wife purchased, and this thing still has the plastic on it, and it's about 20-something years old, and it works fine. I keep this one up here. The arcade is downstairs, but nice. This is my old go-to, man. It's like got all the crazy stuff, the Joust, Timber, nice. Sinister.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, this is my little – this is the one-man cave. So I'll come in here, and I hang out. This is like all this coins and stuff from all the troops
around the world. Awesome.
Yeah, including my Purple Heart that was presented to me from a general.
Wow. Look at that.
So it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy, man. You guys have to come hang out at the house.
Yeah, we're on our way.
Yeah, right?
Let's go.
Actually, I wanted to ask a question real quick. I mean, because that Purple Heart is something else. What is one of the craziest gifts you've ever gotten from a fan, other than the Purple Heart?
You really want to know?
I sure do.
How about how do I say it? It's a German-built Harley. It's German and Harley Davidson built motorcycle. It's got a 250 back tire on the back of it, and Steve Vai signed it for me. I got that as a gift about, I don't know, 10 years ago. This thing is called Jaboom. It's a monster, but he's not a fan. He's a dear friend of mine. Dave Habel, back in the day when you had MySpace and all that stuff or whatever, I got a hit up, and somebody was saying, hey, man, I've been around for a long time. I knew who the guy was, and he said, I had something built for you, and I know this is weird, but I would like to bring you a motorcycle. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah, cool, dude. Yeah, whatever. Is that a euphemism? Like,
here's my address. I'll see you. He said, I'll see you on your birthday. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let me tell you what. Dave Habel was one of my best friends in the world. This guy showed up from Orlando. And I remember not really believing that this was going to happen. And I used to live on Kings and Queens Road. And I remember him calling and said, hey, man, I can't find your house. I'm by a Kmart. And I said, oh, he ain't lying. Wait a second. You're on like the main strip up there, right? He's like, yeah, but I can't. I was like, man, I'm off a side road. So I'm driving to see if this guy's really coming with this motorcycle. And sure enough, as I'm passing, this truck comes by me with this beautiful black low riding motorcycle on the back. And he shows up at my house and he says, the only thing I want you to do is to promise me that you'll have a beer with me from 20 years from now. And then let me see you ride this bike so I don't feel bad about leaving you with something that you can't ride. Well, I got on that bad boy and I took it up my street for about 150 miles per hour and turned it around and came back down about 200 miles per hour. He said, you're good. See you later. So that was my first motorcycle. And I got a second one, too. So, yeah, that's probably the craziest gift is motorcycles. And then I have a Motley Crue signed guitar somewhere around here. That's a cool thing. Ronnie Van Zant, his daughter, Melanie, she gave me a platinum album to Ronnie that was presented to him that's here in the house, too. That's probably something that was that's a great gift, too. But you could go anywhere in this house. If you go downstairs, you go in my bathroom, and you're using the bathroom in there, and there's a dang plaque, and Chris Daughtry's looking at you, so that's weird. But sometimes you got to, I learned that from Tommy Lee when I stayed at his house. I was like, he had the one bathroom was canary, which was nothing but fur. I remember that. Yeah. It was all yellow canary fur and a fucking butt naked picture of Motley Crue from what it was, a Rolling Stones or something. I remember.
It's like staring at you.
Can't make it up. I swear to God. So I don't feel bad when I put hang up my friends in my bathrooms, you know, some different bathrooms. You might see some artists in there. I don't mean that they're shitty or anything. It's just I feel comfortable sometimes taking a dump with some of my friends. You got a platinum album. I don't.
I have a kiss bathroom, so trust me, dude.
Oh, no, you don't. I love it.
Yeah, dude.
If you're peeing,
Paul Stanley's staring right at you.
Oh, look at what just got sent to me, and I have to put it on my bar.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
The fucking bottle opener.
That is what I'm talking about. I have a Gene Simmons bong.
No, you don't.
Hell yeah, dude.
Please tell me, have you gotten into it? Have you got into the replica stuff, the clothing or anything, that one guy in Canada that makes all the stuff?
I haven't. There are certain things that are a little just out of my price range.
So that's exactly what I was going to say. Hopefully I was going to say, maybe I can get us the hookup and see if we can get that that bro deal.
Dude, you let me know, dude. I'm all about it.
I mean, I need the boots. I need the whole outfit. I'll be a real small one, but it'll be cool.
Hell yeah.
That's like, awesome. That's short. Gene Simmons, like a Gary Cohen Gene Simmons joke. It's awesome to talk to y'all. Let me show you something else. Like, man,
all right.
So it's been snowing real bad here. And I come in my bar and it gets cold up here in the front of the bar area. This is something I think that everyone needs to get. Have you seen this?
No, what is it?
It's the fucking, hold on. It's a heater.
Is it a heater that you just plug in?
Oh my God. Let me tell y'all. This thing is the best freaking thing in the world. It goes off by itself, and it's a wall heater. So you put it in, you know, just a regular outlet, and it heats up pretty much a whole area. And I'm sorry. I got an Ace Hardware. I'm, you know, as seen. I'm. If you got something in there as seen on TV, I'm freaking buying it. Here's some Lysol and a heater, and there's a nonstick pan. I got it all. Flashlight and some gum.
You got the knife set. You got those
copper things for your joints. You know, you put on the copper sleeves for your knees and your arms.
It's got a salad shooter and a salad spinner.
I almost bought the copper sleeves the other day. Do they work?
I don't know.
That's what we should do. We should do like a little sideshow where it's just like As Seen on TV with LaJon Witherspoon.
Oh my God, we would have so much fun, man.
Oh my God, dude, that'd be fucking amazing.
This dude's got an Afro pick, a toothbrush that plays radio.
Right, a Bluetooth toothbrush.
Exactly. Like, what do you need it for?
A Bluetooth Afro pick would actually be pretty sweet.
That would be cool.
It have like a little speaker in it, you know?
There you go. I did get this from my friends for Christmas. I don't know if I'm going to use this or not. Have you guys heard of this thing? Let's see what it does. So it's called I don't know what it's called, but you put it around your neck.
Yeah.
And the air flows through, and it's also a heater too.
Okay.
So it's like a personal, it's like a personal neck fan.
Yes. I don't know where, I just don't know where I'm going to use it. You know, I've been used to sweating and, you know, just dealing with it and wiping it off. I just don't know if I want to air conditioner around my neck the whole day, you know?
Right. You end up looking like a Star Wars character. People be like,
there you go. Like, what do you say to your friends when they gift you that at for Christmas? And I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, right.
Oh, look at LaJon. He's got a little personal fan he needs. Oh,
exactly. There you go. Right. Yeah, now.
Man, look how bougie he is.
Exactly.
Got the lead singer disease.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, and that's definitely not me at all. That's hilarious,
dude.
Well, I know we're kind of wrapping up on time. I did want to ask a couple questions about the tour with Sack X and Seven Dust. Kind of just we're going through some nostalgia here. So kind of go back. Do you have any Wayne Static stories? Do you have anything that comes to mind when you know, maybe back in the day with those guys?
Man, I just remember going to LA and running across that band and being like, who in the world and what's going on with these guys and what is this sound? And I fell in love with Wayne and the band and that ding, 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 that angst that they had. It was incredible. I knew there was going to be big things after that. And then to also run into them after the years and to see them and not tour the way that we wanted to tour with them, but it was great to be able to see them at festivals and catch up and do things like that. But now being out here on the road with them, it just brings everything full circle, and rest his soul, but his energy's there every night. And I think these guys are doing an incredible job of keeping that legacy, and they're doing it the proper way. And there's nothing that's phony. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really cool, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. And I hope that everyone out there, hopefully from the second leg and third leg, if you haven't been able to see it, you should come out and join and see, because it's a special evening.
That was always the thing back in the day. I remember when I first saw them too. It was just I'll never forget. It was New Year's Eve in Los Angeles at the Whiskey when saw them. 97, 98. And I just remember going right up to the stage, because I was coming in from New York, and we had New York hardcore. I'd never seen anything like this. And I just remember looking at them just like, what am I witnessing right now?
I can't believe you were at the Whiskey then. That was like, that had to be like, that was their backyard. You were there when
it was Cold Chamber headlining, and it was my first time in Los Angeles. I'd never been to Los Angeles before. And I was just like, just to see him with the hair, I was like, dude, I don't know what kind of monster I'm watching right now, but I don't think this guy's fucking human.
Yep, and I got to look back at that. I feel like we were somewhere close to that. You know what I mean? Like, I remember that run with them, that Cold Chamber stuff. I remember seeing those names. We had to be – we were probably at a show together at some point in time. We wouldn't even realize it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, I saw you guys together at the Birchill way back when.
Wow, the Birchill. What?
Birchill.
Just bringing back memories right there, too. Wow, that was a good spot. Birchill.
That was my hood. That was my hood right there.
If you're going to talk about the Birchill, we might as well talk about what's the other spot out there in Jersey we love? Sayreville.
Oh, yeah. Now it's Starland.
Starland. Oh, yeah.
Not Starland, but yeah.
We grew up. We still go through there, man, and still see some of the same security guards that have been there since. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Back when we were teenagers, some of those cats were still hanging out.
Yep. Still guarding them. I mean, they were big, burly dudes anyway. But, yeah, we always called it Slayerville.
Oh, hell yeah, Slayerville. The last time we were in Jersey, man, we played what's the place right by the water? Stone Pony. A cat that was doing security was like, yeah, man, LJ, I'm not going to be able to see your show tonight, man. I just did a 24-hour. So he was there at the Stone Pony all night long, and then he was getting ready to go to Sayreville to do a double shift of security. And I was like, God dang, you kick ass.
Right? 20 years later, too, man.
20 years, exactly.
I'm still doing this, you know?
Yes, sir.
Jersey makes some hearty ass motherfuckers, that's for sure.
Man, absolutely, man. I got a lot of cool brothers from that area still to this day, man, that we're tight.
Yep.
If you head over to 7dust.com for tickets and VIP, what do you guys do VIP wise? What is your special little spin on it?
So VIP. So now I think what's going on, what we've been doing is, you know, you get to come and hang out and watch sound check and stuff like that. And then we come down and take some pictures and hang out for a little while. And I know a couple of the guys have some specialties. Like I think Morgan does something with his snare drum, and Clint does a guitar. I got to get on board with something, man. I might need to sell a microphone or hang out with LJ for a second two thing.
Maybe get some of those neck fans. You could sign those.
Right. Well, let me tell you, I looked up how much that thing cost, and I'm getting ready to cash it in. I'm like, they're like, where's that neck thing at? I'm like, I got a little scooter.
Yeah, right. I think that's what you should call your fans from now on. Just be like, yeah, it's my LeJean's neck fans.
Man, you know what? It's going to take a lot for me to damn wear that thing, especially after this conversation with you two.
Tell you, man, make it happen, dude. That'll be the new fashion thing.
Right, I will definitely take it out at one point in time and just see how many looks I get. Last time I tried to take I had the Will I Am. My wife got it for me before the pandemic, the Will I Am mask.
Okay.
For COVID and everything. And the Will I Am mask from the Black Eyed Peas has in-ears, like speaker. I mean, you know, the head's fat. Anyway, this is $400 thing. It's amazing. It's got bio air. It's like, it lights up. I mean, I look like a stormtrooper when I'm walking with it. Right. I thought, if anything, it's got to be the safest thing in America. I get on a plane. Was it American or something? I remember talking to the wife, and I put it on, put this thing on. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for it. I'm old school, but I'm going to do it. And I put it on, and it's white, and the lights come on, and it's, you can't hear it. And the stewardess comes up to me. She's like, take that off. I was like, take what off? She's like, that mask. And I took out my in-ears. I was like, this mask? She's like, oh, God, you can't take, you don't have a mask? I was like, yeah, this one. She's like, no, take this. And she gave me a little bitty flimsy paper mask. And as I'm looking at it, I take my mask. I was like, you would rather me use that than this? And as I did that, everyone was looking at me, and I realized that I was the only brother in the first class. And I was like, uh-oh. I could either comply or get kicked off this plane. So I complied, but I could hear my wife. She's like, are you kidding me? We just bought that thing.
Yeah, next thing you know, you'd be on TMZ. You know,
I was gonna be on TMZ, so she gave me her little paper mask, and I said, "No, I have a regular mask," and I put it on. I flew, and I don't even know where that mask is at now. Now to think about it,
just looks like we lost you.
So check this out. You guys are like that. That you know who that is.
Oh, nice.
So the kid that made the kid from Iowa that used to make the Slipknot mask.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that I come through Iowa, he still makes me a mask. But he said, this is the original first mask that I made for Mick. So isn't that cool?
That is awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah, so I have several of those around the house, too. And every once in a while, you know, I get a little wild hair in my ass, and I'll put it on chase my wife around the house with it.
Well, too fun, man. Well, I know we're out of time here, so it looks like, well, here's Ro pop back up.
I'm so sorry about that, Mike. Hey,
man, well, thank you, gentlemen. I love both of y'all's backgrounds. I need to come hang out with y'all.
Hell yeah, dude. My house looks like a museum. Hell, look, I don't know if you guys can see it, but I have a Han Solo and Carbonite on my right over my fireplace there.
I love your place, man. We're fucking old man tinkers. Let's hang.
Yeah,
we would go shopping and get in some trouble.
Oh, are you kidding me, dude? All I do is buy toys and go to comic conventions and toy conventions.
This is the main guy here, though. We got to hang.
Oh yeah,
fucking dime bag hanging out.
Oh, I love it. So you know, you got the dime bag, and someone had this made for me, and actually has my pants and everything on it.
Oh,
that's nice.
That's an LJ. I don't know.
Well, dude, my company, we make custom Funko Pops. So
you don't.
Custom Funko Pop of yourself.
I would love it.
No problem.
Awesome, LaShawn. Well, thank you, and we'll see you out on tour, man.
All right, on. Make sure we do hang, guys.
All right, take care. Dude. Huge thank you to LaShawn for taking some time with us here at NewPod at NotFest.com. And let's end the show with Ro's other segment.
Yes.
Should have been bigger.
So this part of the show, we talk about bands we'll probably go back and forth, but for now it's gonna be my opinion on bands that should have been bigger. And this week, or this episode I should say, we're gonna be talking about a band from Dallas, Texas, called Stinkbug. I was introduced to Stinkbug by Dez from Cold Chamber. I was on their bus and he went, "You've got to check this fucking band out. These guys come out dressed like stormtroopers and they play metal." And I was like, "Stormtroopers and metal, sold." I was in automatically. On the back of the album, it had like one of the guitar players wearing a stormtrooper mask. I was like, "Fuck yeah, I'm in." And literally from the moment this record starts, it is chaos. It's what I call like high octane fucking new metal, like the same way that Slipknot is, like whereas Slipknot had more of this kind of thrash element to them, you know, that gave it their speed. These guys were just like furiously scratching, DJ scratching, but like the lead singer Jeremiah was just, his flow was so fast and so demonic sounding, but all of their songs are really fucked up. it's like watching an Adult Swim cartoon, man. It's just like there is just songs that are just they're about drugs, that are just about sex, that are about all of these things, but and then he'll just bring up crazy that's them. Let's see, where's the album cover though? It's got the weird little spider on it. It's called Dynamic Domination, and I just the second I heard it, I was like, holy shit, this is totally my kind of thing, dude. They talk, there's like Darth Vader samples in the songs, there's like porn samples. They mention Boba Fett in their songs. They mention playing Nintendo. There's just all of these crazy references. But it is seriously a record. I hope people go, please look it up on Spotify. It's called Dynamic Domination by Stinkbug. I think you'll totally dig it. I don't, you know, if it gives them some more spins on Spotify, then cool. There it is. That's the record right there. And it doesn't look like much, but man, when you put it on, that's just gonna fucking smack you in the face a bunch of times. I don't, in a really weird way, I kind of would liken it to, I want to say like Snot meets Slipknot, to be honest with you, because it's just got like the fastest kind of flowing, but there's no singing, there's no like clean vocals at all. And it's like, these are kind of the kind of guys where you're like, if you partied with them, you're the one who's going to wake up with just dicks drawn on your face and hanging upside down from a light post, you know, but you'll be like, dude, that was the fucking best night of my life. These guys just have that kind of like party. Like, yeah, I guess you can mix in a little bit of head PE in there too, but it's just furious stuff. And I really wish these guys had made it bigger. They put out a second record called Sweet Tit, which didn't really hit for me on that level. It just didn't really work. But there's songs like Beast and Nacho and LSD. And there's just some really, really great stuff on there. And I really hope people go and check it out. So please check out Stinkbug. They definitely should have been bigger.
Yeah, I definitely have to check them out. I mean, so, you know, judging by the photos, I'm looking at their Facebook page right now. Some photos with Dez, obviously, from back in the day. Dez looking super, super young. So, yeah, I'll throw some Stinkbug right here on the podcast. And
please do. Yeah, there's a song called Beast. Like I said, Nacho, She Said. There's a bunch of them on there that are really, really good. I will say this, if there are other Stinkbug fans out there or people in Dallas and you find out that they're doing a reunion show, please drop me a line. It's literally something I would fly out for and just catch if they just did a reunion show, just so I could see those songs perform live. I saw them once. I saw them once during a CMJ convention thing in New York, and they played a bunch of their new songs and like one or two old songs, but they were trying to promote that new record so much that they didn't really do anything from the first record. But if they do, drop me a line. I'll drive out there. I'll fly out there. I don't even care. I really would love to see those guys play again.
$19.99, New York City with Static X, Nothing Face, Orange 9mm, and Stinkbug.
That's where I was.
Wow.
That's where I was. That was a hell of a show.
I'm not going to do it now, but I think my should have been bigger will be Nothing Face. Like, I just...
Oh, dude, I'll back that any day of the week, twice on Sundays. When you wrote Ultra Spank earlier, I was like, don't get me started on Ultra Spank.
Wasn't that what you said the other day? I think that's what I was. I think I was just showing you what the title would look like.
Yeah, but I mean, Ultra Spank is another one. But that's a review for another day, because that talking about that band and those records might actually make me tear up, because I was there for a lot of it, and it's and to see them not get the due that they absolutely deserve is one of the biggest fucking crimes of humanity.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in the interview when I brought up LeJean's grandmother, like, he teared up. Like, he got choked up.
He definitely did, like, man. Yeah. That was a super sweet moment, man. That's like just her seeing her boy up there, and you know, all the fans and everything. I mean, that's what you want to see, you know?
Yeah, there was that period of time in the 90s when I was like cool in Nashville and like got to just like I would walk up and they wouldn't even check the guest list. They just knew I was on it, you know, right, kind of deal. And they're like, and then, you know, going backstage and things like that. So, yeah, I was side stage Seven Dust. And his whole family was just going nuts, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's like, and to see like your grandmother, like someone who raised you and everything like that, to see that, like, that's, man, nothing. I'm sure nothing can beat that feeling.
Well, guys, go check out some Stinkbug.
Yes, please. Also,
go check out Static X and Seven Dust on tour.
Yes.
And also get some tickets for Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, man.
Yeah, and don't forget Z2 Comics and NECA Toys. Check out all of their cool stuff. Check out entertainmentearth.com for NECA stuff, but definitely check out Z2 Comics, because they got a lot of great stuff up there.
Yeah, I need to check out the Z2, the Vulgar Display of Power one.
Yes, yeah, they did the Pantera one, that's right.
Well, so for New Pod right here on notfest.com, I am Joshua Toomey, that is Rocoli, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to New Pod. Follow Toomey at Talk Toomey Talk and Ro at War Machine Merch. Rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your friends. Until next week, keep it new.